Well, our subject today is Achan. Achan, the son of Carmi, of the tribe of Judah. Achan's name is defined as one who troubles, and is condemned for his crime, which brought upon him total destruction. Let's read first from Joshua chapter 7, beginning at verse 1. We'll read the entire chapter. I'm going to read this from the ESV, but the print is too small, so I'll try the King James. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of Yahweh was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven, on the east of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So they went up thither of the people, about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote them, about 36 men, while they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down, whereof the hearts of the people melted, and they became as water. Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of Yahweh until the eventide, and he and the elders of Israel had put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Yahweh Elohim, wherefore hast thou at all delivered this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan. O Yahweh, what shall I say when Israel turneth their back upon their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall envision us round and cut off our name from the earth. What wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Yahweh said unto Joshua, Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them, for they have taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and disassembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except you destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, There is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes. And it shall be that the tribe which Yahweh taketh shall come according to the families thereof, and the family which Yahweh shall take shall come by household, And the household which Yahweh shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of Yahweh, because he hath wrought folly in Israel. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes. The tribe of Judah was taken. He brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of Zerites. He brought the family of Zerites man by man, and Zebeb was taken. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zabi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. Thus and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver unto it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent and brought them unto Joshua, unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before Yahweh. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his asses, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had, and brought them into the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? Yahweh shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they were stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day, so that Yahweh turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of the place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. The name Achan is found 6 times in that scripture. 5 times here in Joshua 7, and once in 1 Chronicles 2, verse 7. And we know that 6 is the number of man. For example, if we take Goliath, for instance, he was 6 cubits tall. He had 6 pieces of armor, and his brothers had 6 fingers and 6 toes. And of course, in Revelation 13, we have the number of the beast, 666. So this again is what we read in Chronicles 7, verse 5, says, the troubler of Israel, who broke faith in the matter of the devoted thing. Because the nation of Israel is treated by God as a unit, each individual shares responsibility for its success. So since Achan's action came at the destruction of Jericho, failure comes with the attack upon the next city, which is Ai. Now Ai stands at the top of a steep hill north of Jerusalem. It's a much smaller place than Jericho was, and it was poorly fortified. Joshua sends his overconfident commanders, and they claim that conquering Ai would just be a snap. However, the exact opposite happened. 36 Israelites died, and the rest were routed. Now Joshua laments before Yahweh and is told that Yahweh specified commandment had been violated and that he will no longer support the nation unless the fault is corrected. So by lot, we read that the guilty party, Achan, the troubler of Israel, is shown to be the responsible one and suffers the supreme penalty. Verse 1 that we read of Joshua 7 says, the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. And although it was Achan that was at fault, and this was not unknown outside of his family, the citizens of the nation were in fellowship with all members and the part of the one body. Thus, his action affected all of them. Thus, Yahweh's favor was withdrawn until the culprit could be discovered. The word trespass here in this verse simply means to act treacherously. It comes from a root word denoting to cover up, to act covertly. And so Achan, the trespass related to the accursed thing, that is, the spoils of Jericho, which had been set aside exclusively for Yahweh. The effects of the sin were disastrous for the nation as a whole. For it, like the ecclesia, was responsible for the good conduct of all its members. A public act of punishment was necessary in Achan's case. As one sin ruined the world in the garden in the beginning, here one sin unjudged brought disgrace and defeat upon the whole nation of Israel. He took of the accursed thing. Verse 1 says, the Septuagint denotes that they took for themselves, much the same as Ananias and Sapphira in Acts 15, where they had the money that they had vowed to give to Yahweh, thus no longer belonged to them to do with as they desired. They were as guilty as Achan in the accursed thing. The objects and the riches of Jericho that had been survived the destruction and the fire of the city were Yahweh's and should have been treated as sacred to him. Malachi 3, verse 9, ye are accursed with a curse, for ye are robbing me, the whole nation of you. So here we see the anger of Yahweh against the children of Israel until the culprit is brought forth for punishment. We see the anger of Yahweh worked out in his removal of favor in their assault on Ai. And Joshua's pleading as to why Yahweh had left them alone before their enemies. Yahweh's response is enlightening. His people must remember that simply to be a hearer of Yahweh's name, in theory, is not sufficient. For the qualities of the name must be honored by obedience. Therefore, it was not a time for self-pity, but a time for action. Israel had sinned. The transgression must be revealed and attended to. So in verse 19 of chapter 7, Joshua says to Achan, give, I pray thee, glory to Yahweh, God of Israel. Make confession unto him. What have you done? Hide it not from me. To which Achan says, I have sinned against Yahweh. However, Achan's confession came too late to avoid his punishment, which was already to be delivered. Yet it might assist him at the judgment seat of Christ. Achan will now receive the wages of sin. Previously, he had enjoyed the excitement of acquiring something nobody else had. But his pleasure was short-lived. He imagined that he had hidden his sin, and he covered his tracks. But all things are open to the seeing eyes of Yahweh. Achan had involved others of his family in his sin, and they are now to share in his sorrow. With him perishes all that is legitimately his. His being unfaithful in taking that which was of little comparative value and is now to lose his life. He dies a criminal's death, and all that he has treated, all he has are treated as defiled. For as one man can inspire a community to do good works, another can lead it into evil. Thus, Achan's bad example needed to be purged. They brought the stolen items out of Achan's tent and laid them before Yahweh. They gave them back to him to whom they belonged. Achan had robbed God. Now the devoted things were solemnly laid out one by one. Now Achan's punishment was not Joshua's idea. It's actually Joshua was moved to sorrow at Achan's sin and the severity of the punishment. However, Yahweh had spelled it out. Deuteronomy 17, reading from verse 2. If there be found among you within any of your gates, which Yahweh thy God giveth thee, man or woman that hath wrongly wickedness in the sight of the Lord thy God, in transgressing his covenant, and hath gone and served other gods and worshipped them, either the sun or the moon or any of the host of heaven, which I have not commanded. And if it be told thee, and thou hast heard it, and inquired diligently, and behold, it is true, and the thing certain, that which abomination is wrought in Israel, then shalt thou bring forth that man or that woman which has committed that wicked thing unto thy gates, even that man or that woman, and shall stone them with stones until they die. At the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses shall he that is worthy of death be put to death, and at the mouth of one witness he shall not be put to death. The hand of the witnesses shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterward the hand of all the people. So thou shalt put the evil away from among you. So you see, this was not Joshua's idea. This was Yahweh's words. Stone them with stones. So what was Achan's motivation? Was it simply greed and greed for wealth, material gain? Was it craving for power over his fellows? The Babylonian garment was Atharoth, Sindai. In the Hebrew, which suggests a female garment, implying that Achan's family were in the sin, even though he was the principal sinner. But whatever the motivation behind his sin, one thing is clear. Achan did not know that Yahweh's eyes see all everywhere. None can hide from him. And this is something that we should consider each day of our lives. The Apostle Paul is writing to the Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his eyes, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. That's a good lesson for us. So there's a little postscript on this that although Achan was stoned, the fate on his family is vague. Perhaps as party to his deception, they were brought out to witness his execution. The them of verse 25 could apply to his possessions. Otherwise, why would they not be buried with him? His own family, not be buried with him, because it said there was a heap of stones. So that is Achan.